Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome and thanks for listening in. This is Linda Mooney, and you are listening to Other Worlds of Romance on Blog Talk Radio. And all this week, as I promised, we are live from RT, from Romantic Times Book Lovers Convention in Las Vegas, Nevada. And tonight I have with me Cecilia Tan. Hi, Cecilia. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing fantastic. Vegas is fantastic. I'm having a great time.
Super.
You know, RT I think of it as the kind of the Mardi Gras of romance, you know, and here we are at the Rio Hotel, mm-hmm. and it's like, it's Mardi Gras all over again. And, you know, 2 years ago we were in New Orleans, and it was actually Mardi Gras, like, while we were here. But, yeah, RT is so much fun.
Have you lost any money yet in the slots?
No, there's been no time to go to the casino other than that we have to walk through it to get to the convention area, and it's like everybody mm-hmm. who does like a Fitbit or whatever who's counting steps, it's so many steps to get to the other end of the convention center. It's like, you know, it takes 15 minutes. So I'm like, I got all my walking and my, you know, people are like, do you want a gym membership here at the hotel? I'm like, no, I don't need a gym membership because we're going to be walking like 10 miles a day. So, yeah, it was like, you know, I think the only place we walked more is at Disney World, you know. So, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
We're having
a good
time, though. It's so much fun.
That's super. Well, Cecilia is going to be reading from, now, I was originally sent, I'm letting the readers know, I was originally sent The mm-hmm. Siren and the Sword, which is book one of her Magic University series, which is LGBT and new adult. And since I got this information, I've also found out that book two, which is The Tower and the Tears, and book three, The Incubus and the Angel, and all her books have been released in a complete series and in a book package.
It's available. Yeah, you can buy it right now on sale at Amazon and everywhere. It's an ebook bundle for $9.99. You get actually 5 books in the series, including a bonus book that's only available in the bundle that you can't buy separately. So
wow.
Yeah, so
that is
incredible. On sale right now because it was just my birthday and my publisher decided to put it on sale. So it's
$9.99
for 5
Cecilia?
Books. It was April the 8th, so just last week.
Oh my gosh. Oh, we're both mm-hmm. Aries. Hey!
There's a lot of Aries, seems like, to me in romance. Oh.
of course, because, well, Aries rules the head, so we're, you know, we got that going for us. If nothing else, we've got that going for us. You know. Cecilia gets through reading from her excerpt, which she's going to be actually reading from book three, The Incubus and the Angel. After she gets through reading her excerpt, if you want to call in and talk to her, please do. The number is 646-727-2932. Or I have the chat room open, and you're welcome to come in and drop a question off there. Or if you want to email me your question, it's linda@lindamooney.com, and I'd be more than happy to relay the question to her for her to answer. Now, for those of you who don't know Cecilia, she's been writing and publishing passionate fiction for 25 years. Her path as the maven of kinky, erotic fantasy and sci-fi began back in 1981 when she posted a story called Telepaths Don't Need Safe Words to the fledgling internet, and boom, a star was born. That story not only launched her writing career, but it also resulted in the founding of Circlet Press, because at that time, publishers not only wouldn't touch BDSM with a 10-foot pole, they didn't believe in mixing sex or romance with sci-fi or fantasy. So Cecilia had to start her own publishing company to prove that the chocolate and the peanut butter do indeed go together. So here she is, 25 years later, the proud author of 10 romances, a handful of other novels, 3 collections of short stories, 2 web serials, and has taken home some prestigious awards, including the RT Romantic Times Pioneer Award, Career Achievement Award, Reviewer's Choice Award, and the Maggie Award for Excellence. So what, the Maggie Award, that's the one I'm not familiar with. Can you elucidate on that one a little bit?
It's It's the Magnolia chapter of the RWA, the Georgia Romance Writers chapter.
Oh,
and they, yeah, they have a thing
okay.
called the Magnolia Awards every year, and they give it out in October, which is when their regional conference is. And yes, the Maggies for short, I guess. But it's the prettiest award
Georgia.
Ever. It's actually
I'm from Texas.
Yeah, it was really nice, and I went down to the ceremony. And they don't tell you who's won.
Mm-hmm.
They just tell you who the finalists are. So I went down to go to the conference, and I was sick as a dog. I was, like, on cough medicine and NyQuil and, you know, whatnot like that. And I thought I wasn't going to win. I was just convinced that this other author was going to win, who actually couldn't be there. So she had given me her speech to read in case. And then, of course, I won.
Mm-hmm.
And I had not prepared a speech for myself at all. So I'm up there crying with my mascara running, you know, and what like that. And I was just like, oh, my God. I didn't prepare a speech because I was 100% sure I was not going to win. And then now the joke is that I have a speech. You know? And it was very, very sweet. And they're so sweet.
Well, that's wonderful.
Everyone down there. I just had a wonderful time.
So the Maggie.
But then I had to go straight back to my room and knock myself out with another dose of cough medicine. So, but yeah, it's a long-standing award. I had not really known that much about it until then. And yeah, they're one of the oldest and most active chapters of RWA. So,
wow. See, and I didn't know that, so I learned that. Of course,
mm-hmm.
and being in Texas, I wouldn't know about the Maggie, which is why I didn't. But the rest, very impressive, very impressive. And I'd heard of Circlet Press, but now I know the owner. Hey.
Yep. mm-hmm. Now you know the story. Yeah,
well, now I know. Well, tell us a little bit about Magic University.
So this was one of those books that just came out of a conversation with my agent where in around before the digital really took off in around 2006, 2007, it was like my career was in a slump. Nothing was selling. She had solicited a couple of different manuscripts around. Nothing was going anywhere. And I was in the doldrums because I wasn't getting any writing done. You know, it's like nobody seemed to want anything. And I got into writing Harry Potter fan fiction, like as a way to keep writing fun and to keep myself, like to keep myself in shape almost. Like I wanted to keep writing. And then, and I was obsessed with Harry Potter. So I fell headlong, like head over heels into writing Harry Potter fan fiction. Like it just sucked up, it ate my entire life. And so in the course of 1 year, I basically had written, I don't know, like 500,000 words of fan fiction or something. It was like that much. Like I wrote 50 short stories featuring Harry and Draco as characters to fulfill like a challenge, you know, like that kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I wrote during that was I wrote a Harry Draco time travel romance novel. That was really the first time I felt like I had written an actual romance that was successful. Like before that, I was always publishing within erotica or within science fiction, and so I somehow had this idea I could not write romance. Like I just had this idea in my head. I mean, I'd never really tried. I just had somehow gotten this mental block about it. And then here I wrote this thing, and she calls me one day. She says, "So what have you been doing lately?" And I said, "I just wrote a perfect three-act structure, black moment formula, time travel romance featuring copyrighted characters. What do I do?" You know, and she was like, "Oh, you can write romance now. Great, I'll sell some stuff to some romance publishers." Like, no, wait, but too late, right? So, so I wrote a romantic suspense. After that, I wrote, you know, so I started writing for one of the digital publishers. And at one point, she asked me. She said, "Have you thought about writing something that wouldn't be Harry Potter, but that would be in a magical school setting, you know, or whatever?" She said, "But, you know, make it college so that you could make it erotic." And I said, "Yes, of course I've thought about it, because one of the things you do when you're a fanfic writer is you think about all the things that aren't contained in a book. And one of the things that J.K. Rowling has never said is, well, what happens after Hogwarts? Like, do people, is there a university? Do they go, you know, like Snape had to become a potions master somehow, somewhere. I don't think he did it by, like, mail order, of course, right? So... and she never answers that question, right? So, you know, it's like you didn't get a correspondence degree, right? So I thought, okay, well, what would Magic Universities be like? And, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, of course, so I end up writing the Magic University series kind of as a response also, because all fans of Harry Potter, I think, are also very analytical about it. We dig around and try to figure out sort of like, well, what's wrong with the world, or how would we fix it if we did it, and, you know, that kind of thing. And one of the things I thought is, well, if I were making a magic system, for example, you wouldn't be able to just use the wand like a gun. You wouldn't just be able to, like, shoot a spell out of the end of it, which is how it works in Harry Potter.
Yeah.
I said, to me, magic would be mm-hmm. would be much more complicated, and it would take a long time to build up the energy to do a spell, and then, you know, its effect should be able to go around corners. Like, it shouldn't be like, you know, you have to have line of sight for the person to do it. You know, like a curse should be something that, you know, affects you intentionally, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So, so I thought, okay, well, I'll write my thing. And, you know, and I started from a similar place, though, of, well, it's like, you know, the mundane world, the magical world's been hidden from it, but it's right under our noses. So the idea is the Magic University in my book is at Harvard, and it's literally inside the Harvard campus. It's just only, you can only see it if you're magical. So, you know, and our hero walks onto the Harvard campus to have, like, an interview, and he can see buildings that other people can't see. And the magic folk are basically like, oh, well, you're one of ours.
Wow.
And he's like, what? I don't understand. You know, and, of course, it turns out his he's an orphan. His parents were magical, you know, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, hijinks ensue. So,
and the thing is, you are right on the cusp of this because now Sci-Fi Network has a magic school, so to speak.
The Magicians, by Lev Grossman.
The Magicians.
Well, so the funny thing is, my book came out right before the first issue of, you know, the first book of Magic University, The Siren and the Sword, came out right before The Magicians. And Lev Grossman is also a Harry Potter fan, as you might be able to tell from his book. And he went around speaking at Harry Potter conventions, where I was also speaking.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been on panels together on, like, how do you write a magic school novel post J.K. Rowling? She's not the first person who wrote a magical school either. You know, I mean, Ursula K. Le Guin did it. Jane Yolen did it. You know, whatever. A lot of the masters of fantasy have done that setting. And, you know, but now obviously Harry Potter is like the school novel to end all magic school novels, you know, whatever. So, yeah, so Lev and I have actually spoken on panels together about, well, okay, so now knowing that everyone in the world has read this other book, how do you react to it? Because you can't just ignore it. You have to be, you know, in the same way you can't do a space opera and ignore Star Trek and Star Wars. You know, it's like, well, everyone's going to be familiar with those things.
Exactly.
So you have to reference them somehow, and, you know, that kind of stuff. So there are various in-jokes buried within my book, too, for the Harry Potter fans,
right,
you know, who are paying attention and whatnot. So, you know, it's all in there.
I'm turning the floor over to you, and you can give us the blurb or give us the lead-in to what you're going to be reading an excerpt to, which is going to be, like we said again, book 3, The Incubus and the Angel. I told you I'm going to make it. The Incubus and the Angel. So it's all yours, Cecilia. Take it away.
Sure. All right. So our hero, his name is Kyle, he has a natural ability basically to gather and channel magical energy through sex magic. And so in this book, a female friend of his who is an enchanter, enchanters need a lot of energy to do what they do. They can do things like transform, you know, a pumpkin into a stagecoach and, you know, that kind of a thing, right? So this friend of his needs a lot of energy to get through her exams, and the two of them eventually decide that Kyle should help her out. And, you know, but in order to have this transfer of energy, they have to have magical sex. And both he and she are from non-magical backgrounds, though. They both grew up sort of normal, right, without knowing about magic, so they're both learning about it. And they decide that before they have this magical sex, they should go on a date. So I'm going to read you the story of their date.
Okay, all right.
All right. Kyle came out of the shower with his skin steaming. In the mirror, he could see he looked boiled like a lobster, but the redness would fade fast enough when he had to walk outside in the winter wind. He looked through his clothes while his roommate Glendon ignored him, lost in the world of his earphones and his journal. Kyle pulled out a green silk button-down shirt that was probably not warm enough for the weather, but if he was going to perform an energetic ritual later, he decided he might as well work on using magic to keep himself warm. He got dressed and then sat on the end of the bed, holding his palms so they faced each other as if he were carrying a large soap bubble. A ball of heat, that's what he was carrying. He let it build up between his hands like an electric charge, his cock surging along with the blood in his palms. With each quick beat of his pulse, he grew warmer and more aroused. He wondered if maybe that was too much, and if it would scare her if he showed up at the door too obviously erect. Maybe by the time he walked to her dorm, he wouldn't be quite so swollen. He combed his hair. Glendon looked up. Big date tonight? Well, yeah, pretty much, Kyle said. That made Glendon blush. Oh, I figured you were just out of clean laundry. Have fun. Kyle shrugged on his coat, made sure he had his wallet, and then headed down the stairs. He didn't feel the slightest bit cold walking to Camilla House. In fact, he had to keep his coat open not to overheat. Lindy was waiting for him in the common room. She had dressed up, too, in heels and a dress that showed off her long legs and somewhat cultish knees. He'd never seen her in a dress before. Hi, he said, as she came up to him and placed a peck on her cheek. In her heel, she was slightly taller than he was. Hi, she said. So, where to? Kyle had thought all week about where they should go. He was living on the small stipend of his scholarship, so somewhere too expensive was right out, but he wanted somewhere nice enough for a date. Have you tried the Vietnamese noodle place? Ooh, no, but I've wanted to, she said with an eager smile. He slipped his hand into hers, and they stepped outside. He wasn't wearing gloves, and neither was she, and her eyebrows went up as she felt how warm he was. The restaurant was not far at all, right in Harvard Square, and soon they were seated in the window watching people hurry by. Kyle found himself blushing when Lindy took his hand under the table and smiled. You're like a furnace. You don't have to explain. I can feel it. God, Kyle, it's like you give real meaning to the term hot. Her smile was real, happy. She held his hand until the waiter brought them each a huge bowl of soup full of noodles and thin sliced beef and fresh herbs. They exchanged small talk. She was from New Jersey, but had moved to Minnesota when she was in grade school, then back to New Jersey after the discovery that she was magical. Kyle told her a little about California, but the less said about his past, the better, he thought. I've read a little about what you're doing, Lindy said, leaning forward over her soup bowl. You couldn't do it all the time, though, right? Or you'd burn out? For most people, that'd be true, Kyle said, but not me. Under the table, she grasped his hand again, and that made him smile. Forgive me, she said. But I just want to be touching you. I don't mind, he assured her. She blushed then and looked down. This is different. Is it? Well, except it's not. I mean, it feels like a regular date, except what's different is I know we're going to have sex at the end of it. No guessing and wondering if we are, and no wondering if it's going to be good. Kyle didn't know what to say to that last part, so he just sat there slightly stunned by the compliment. She was good friends with more than one person he'd slept with, so perhaps that's why her expectations were high. He cocked his head. I'll do my best. She moved his hand to her knee, which felt incredible under his fingertips because of the stockings she wore. He ran his fingers up and down the inner part of her thigh, not reaching under her dress by more than an inch or two, but barely suggesting where that touch could go. She shivered. What next? She asked, her voice husky with desire. Chocolate, he said, his voice just as low, and then back to your room. She crooked her head. Chocolate is part of the ritual? I've been told. Don't you think it should be? Oh, definitely, though I can't say why. I suppose there's something to the whole Valentine's Day thing, though, isn't there? She got a thoughtful look on her face. It's amazing how many things mundane folk do that seem like they come from magic. Enchantment is full of stuff like that. I couldn't enchant my way out of a paper bag, Kyle said, motioning to a passing waiter for their check. It's amazing you've picked it up so easily. Ha, well, not so easily sometimes. I don't know if I'm a good enchanter so much as I'm a good enchantment student, you know, because I didn't grow up with it, so I really have to think about it. Alex can snap his fingers and make posies fly through the air, but he's crap at explaining how or why. He says you just have to do it, but I really have to think about it before I can. The waiter put the check down between them, and Lindy put her hand on it. Kyle shook his head. No, I'm paying. I've heard, she said with an eyebrow raised, that the enchanter usually buys the dinner. He shook his head again. That's after, he said. We're sticking with mundane protocol here, remember? I'm taking you out for a nice dinner so I can go back to your place and do wicked things to you. Right, she said with a smirk. Kyle pulled a $20 bill into the folder the waiter had brought and then held out his hand to her. She slid hers along his palm with a smile before grasping it and getting to her feet. They walked to the shop at the edge of the square that served amazing hot chocolate, and when they both ran out of things to say, Lindy leaned close to deliver a kiss that was pure chocolate velvet. Kyle didn't even remember if he had finished his chocolate then. Let's go, she whispered, and he nodded and took her hand again. Lindy closed the dorm room door behind them and locked it, then let her coat slip off. Kyle smoothed his hands over her buttocks as he pulled her close. I can't remember ever seeing you in a dress before. You've never been about to have sex with me before, she said, rubbing her nose against his as she talked. I never appreciated just how plain sexy a dress can be. You wouldn't even have to take it off for me to do it if this was purely necessity. She kissed him and then said, necessity. I don't think that's what they're talking about when people say, I need you. She kissed him again, then nuzzled his ear and whispered, I need you. His cock throbbed where it was pressed between them. He was tempted to lift her up right there against the door and find out if she was ready for him, as ready as she seemed. Simply pull her panties aside and slip into her wetness. But he forced himself to remember two things, the spell and her inexperience. Need you too, he breathed back. But light a few candles first, hmm? It's another one of those ritual things. Right. She had her hands on his hips and eased him gently back, then went around him to set a few candles and glass cups on the desk. As she lit them, he closed his eyes and saw the wavering flames on the insides of his eyelids as he built up energy. He groaned softly as she stroked her hand up the fly of his slacks. I know your exam's tomorrow, so I don't want to keep you up too late, Kyle said, but I don't want to rush. Exam's in the afternoon, she said with a smile. No rush. Good. He pulled her close again and undid the front buttons of her dress enough to reach in and caress her nipples into rigid, sensitive nubs. She unbuttoned his shirt, and in short order he was standing in a pile of clothes, completely naked. She ran her hands up and down him from shoulder to hip. Kyle, I knew you were cute. I didn't know that under your clothes you were gorgeous. You think so? He helped her lie back, slipping one shoe at a time from her feet and then peeling her stockings away. He could see glistening as he dropped her panties off the side of the bed. As he ran a finger through the wetness, her shiver seemed to pass right through from her to him. So he did it again, her lower lips parting this time as she rubbed her feet against the bed. He settled himself between her legs and sought out her clit with his tongue. Now, there was much more than a shiver, her legs squeezing him hard and her voice crying out, Oh, God, Kyle, don't, I'm going to... But she couldn't finish the sentence as she came, and Kyle couldn't hear anyway with her thighs clamped tight over his ears. When the spasms subsided, he sat up and slid a finger inside her. It's okay, he told her. You can come as many times as you like, as long as I come last. That way, you won't dissipate whatever I give you. Okay, Lindy said. She squirmed a little as he crooked his finger inside her. Oh, fuck, that feels good. He felt her inner walls squeezing his fingers. Kyle, I feel like I can say anything to you. He grinned. Good, then you won't mind telling me if you want to come again before I, get to it. He wiggled his fingers again. She squeezed him once more. Mm-mm, I want your cock now. I just want to make sure you're ready for it. Now, Wadsworth, she said, with a feral gleam in her eye. I'm going to leave you off there.
Oh,
because of a horrible tease.
Leave me hanging. Oh, yeah. So I have a question. So does having sex increase their magical power? Is that what it is?
Well, so Kyle is what's called a lightning rod, where he can draw energy both from the sky and from the earth. So, and then he can basically draw straight from nature, and then he can channel it through sex into a person. If she was going to build up the same amount of power on her own, she would have to, like, sit and meditate every day for, like, 6 weeks or something, you know. And he could give it, and he can give her that much all in one night. If the sex is good, and if she's open to the transfer and whatnot. So he's very, very prized. You know, it's a very rare skill that he has. But it can be overdone also, where there's one point, I'm not giving away too much. There's one point where he actually creates an earthquake because he doesn't realize how powerful he is, and none of his instructors have quite realized what a natural he is at this talent. So,
oh my gosh.
And really Kyle thinks that his
talent
is poetry.
I feel the earth move under my feet.
Exactly. you grasped it exactly. See? So everything that's a metaphor in our world is real in the world of Magic University.
So, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
We have a question here from a JT. Is the same people in every book, or does each book feature different people?
So Kyle is the hero of all the books, but because the four-book series is basically his quest for true love, he has different lovers in each book, and he, you know, has different relationships that teach him different things that are important, but it's college, so it's like he falls in love with someone in the first book, but then you're like, that's not going to be the person who is the one for him, right? And so it's sort of like he has to keep learning and keep trying things and, you know, so forth. So, so there's a whole arc between the four books.
Okay, so this is a closed series.
He does have to have it's a closed series. It's done. So I won't give away who it is he ends up with or
so
how it happens.
He does find his,
Yes, of course.
But he does end up finally.
It is ultimately romance, yes. And he does, Kyle not only finds true love, it's like super duper happy ever after for everyone. And then there's a novella after that just to drive it home. The extra bonus book you get in the bundle is a Christmas story about him and his partner.
That's good.
Now my publisher is like, so when are you going to write the graduate school novels? I'm like, okay.
Oh.
Yes, in which Kyle and his partner have to, you know, whatever, do their grad school. I'm like, well, maybe after I'm done writing, you know, these two other series for these two other publishers. Yeah, so because I'm writing BDSM Contemporary for Hachette and, you know, whatnot. So it's like those are keeping me very busy and whatnot. But, yeah, my heart belongs to the sort of magical stuff, you know, so, yeah.
And so you're working right now on another series, a BDSM series.
Right, yeah, I'm in the middle of a series called Secrets of a Rockstar for Forever, which is the romance imprint of Grand Central Publishing / Hachette, and that one's different people, and each book is a different band member, so it's like the current book that's out is taking the lead, is the lead singer, and Wild Licks, which is the guitar player's book, is coming out in August, and then I'm writing the drummer's book now. So, and they're all sort of rock stars and BDSM and Hollywood and, you know, that kind of stuff. So those are fun. Yeah.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Well,
those
are
kind of keeping me busy.
Are you going to be dipping your toe into more fantasy or more urban fantasy or something like that?
I am, actually.
Yay!
So I've already started, I've turned in the first manuscript, but it doesn't have a publication date yet or anything. It's still very early days, but the contract is signed and everything for a new paranormal urban fantasy series with Tor that will be called The Vanished Chronicles, and that has a lot of the same sex magic concepts, actually, as in Magic University, but this time sort of from a different perspective, it's sort of like, what if vampires weren't real, but all the vampire myths came from a sort of ancient cult of sex magic, which has been hidden from us? So everything we think we know about vampires is actually about this sort of secret blood magic BDSM cult. So it's sort of a cult and sort of...
Well, that's a different take.
Yeah, so it's kind of fun. So I still get to write the kinky stuff, but then I still get to write the sex magic, you know, and how it all fits together and whatnot. And it's, The Vanished Chronicles, it all takes place in New York City, or at least the first book takes place in New York City. And, I just finished a first draft of that first novel, and it's sitting on my editor's desk waiting for feedback. And then,
go ahead.
Uh-huh.
Something I've always wondered about is that series is launching for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at maybe 2017. For that one.
Yeah, that one will be a while. The first book doesn't even have a title yet, just the series has a title. That's how early days it is.
Ah.
So, yeah.
Well, it's something I've always wondered about is that I haven't read one. I'm pretty sure there might be something out there like that, but where the BDSM, but the chains and everything and the cuffs and all holding the person down. It is meant to the person being chained has this ability or this power, and they can't enjoy the sex unless their power is tamped down and dampened, and it requires those chains and cuffs to keep that their power under wraps so that they can have sex. If not, it just kind of. And I was wondering if you ever read anything along those lines,
I've definitely seen that idea used just in paranormal overall, where it's like the shifter lover or the vampire lover or whatever who may lose control during the sexual act, you know, when they're mm-hmm. trying to pair with a human, needs to be restrained or whatever so that they, for the safety of their partner. And then that means that the partner has to be the one in control, you know. I think that going all the way back to like early days, paranormal was sort of an idea.
Yeah.
But some of those books, the sex scene is not explicit. It's like they leave it off. It fades to black after the bonds go on. But now we would just write it mm-hmm. right out in the open where you'd see everything that happens. Right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know,
definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that works for me. Let
Cecilia?
Me
yeah. Well, let me tell you, it has been wonderful having you on the show tonight, and I really, really appreciate you taking the time from Romantic Times to call in and to give us this information. It's the Magic University series by
That's
Cecilia
right.
Tan. You can get more information about this series. You can find the box set for sale right now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. But you can find out more information about her, all her other books at blog.ceciliatan, that's CECILIATAN.com. Go check out her website. Sign up for her newsletter. And, Cecilia, thank you again for coming on the show. And
thank
I
you
hope
so much.
You have a great time at the convention, okay?
I'm on my way to
all
a party right,
right
now.
All right. Have a drink for me. Anyway, my name is Linda Moody. This is Other Worlds of Romance. Thanks for listening in. Thank you for JT for your question. And we'll see you tomorrow night. Take care and have a great time. Bye-bye. And we're done.
Excellent. Thank
Yay!
You so much.
It was a great show. Thank you. Thank you. Excuse me. And I love it. Okay, so I got to go check this out. All right, well,
okay.
Take care and have a great time. And I hope you sell a lot of books at your book signing.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, stay in touch.
All right, okay. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.